It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención. Class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more. That's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause them churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit. Yeah, that means you take a loss and you spray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos israelitas, oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, history to learn, it's the power hour. The 11th hour. Tune in to your history, you know any more history. Power hour, the 11th hour. You don't know your true history, 11th hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I am Captain Yahshua.
I am Officer Nehemiah.
And I am Soldier Eric.
Oh, man, I didn't hear you at all. Is your stuff plugged in and everything?
I'm Soldier Eric.
No. Hey, what happened with his mic, man? You checked it in the back? Is it plugged in all the way? Yeah.
I barely hear him, too.
Yeah, I barely hear you, man. We need our brother's commentary. What's going on?
That's right.
Okay, that's better, huh?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah. Okay. Oh, what's going on there? No, technology didn't like you? Technology didn't like you. Good evening to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Greetings.
Yes,
greetings. So we back for another episode. I'm trying to get myself. I didn't share my links on Facebook like I wanted to. But as promised from last week, we're going to discuss the Americanism. We kind of left you with that a little bit from last week. All right. And we're going to show how Americanism is not the popular term for it. Mm-hmm. What most people know it as is patriotism. All right. And actually, I forgot to say this. Pull up the definition of ism. I like the one that dictionary.com had. All right, the definition of ism, okay, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, a new song intro.
Yeah, that thing hot.
I think a lot of people really didn't catch it last week because it was new last week. But I think they're so used to hearing the regular one. Like, you know, sometimes you're like, all right, let me get my water, my soda, my coffee, whatever it is when you listen to a tune into the show at this time. Because, you know, I know got people in other parts of the country, they just settling in at home or whatever it is.
Right.
They probably just like, you know, they didn't catch it. They might have thought it was part of the preview song, right. And then they just heard us talking. No, we got the new intro song.
That's right.
The new intro song.
I straight up thought it was. I thought it was a part of the...
You thought it was just part of the thing? Like, oh, you didn't know we was getting it in on the new intro?
Not until last week. I watched it. Uh-huh. And I saw
and then you said, okay, all right. Yeah, so we got the new intro song. Shout out to my brothers out in the Miami camp. All right, they've been working on a lot of Northern Kingdom music. It's real flames. Mm-hmm. They covering like every genre. All right, reggaeton, salsa, merengue.
Right.
I don't know if they got a bachata. I think they even got a bachata maybe.
Really? Right? They already? Okay.
Bro, they all in it. Okay. Oh, they all in it.
Hopefully.
And they were like, yeah, I don't know if you want. They were like, you know, we were playing around with like a Power Hour song. You know, so I said, yeah, let me see what y'all come up with, man. And, bro, they got in the studio like 2 days in a row, banged it out, bro.
Oh, they weren't playing no games.
They banged it out.
No,
they put respect. They put respect on it. They banged it out. So all praise to the Most High. I appreciate you, brothers, hooking up the track for the show. Hey, let's not forget the call-in number, 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. We do love to interact with y'all. All right. questions, comments about the show topic, feel free to call in. Also, do not forget, let's support the Booster Club, okay? Got a lot of international things going on just because the traveling is not like what it was in past years since this whole called so-called pandemic came into play. We are still supporting radio shows and things like that overseas, traveling when we can. Brothers heading out to Puerto Rico. Someone is catching flights tonight, you know, to hit that Puerto Rico mission. Next year, Lord's will, we'll start, you know, we have like little seeds in Dominican Republic as well. We're going to start making sure that we hit that. If it's not monthly, every other month, it all depends on funds. So we got to manage the trips a certain way, keep a certain headcount to get out there. But it's all made possible by your arms to support that mission. All right. So IUIC.fundraising@israelunite.org. You see that up on your screen. IUIC.fundraising@israelunite.org. Support the Booster Club. And not just the Northern Kingdom travels. We got. I'm telling you, like, we help a lot of these countries keep their shows on the air and all that stuff like that, so that the word can go out. All right. You'll see all the follows on social media there. All right. Instagram at IUIC Phoenix. Facebook at TheLost144K. Twitter. Do we tweet enough?
Nah,
you know, I got to talk to Ruvain,
yeah,
right?
Tweets is down.
Well, yeah, tweets is down. All right, yeah. At IUIC Phoenix. Do we retweet pretty often?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like Twitter is like a white person thing.
The Twitter,
right? Like, that's where they go when they want to, like, vent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I always see, like, politicians and, you know, I know Trump was big on there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't use it.
No.
I'm not saying we shouldn't use it. I never rocked with Twitter. And I remember, I think I signed up for an Instagram, like, when it first came out, like, years ago. I remember still being in New York. And I never used it. I think people are like, yeah, you got an Instagram. I'm like, I got an Instagram. I know I got one for my business, right, when I was doing the self-defense. And I said, I don't got a personal Instagram. And then someone sent me, I got like a picture of my dog. My dog's like 12 years old, so I must have, and it was like a puppy in the picture. So
yeah,
I must have done it when I first got him.
Wow. A minute ago, yeah.
And that's it. That's like the only post that I have is the freaking dog. I don't know. I don't get down like that, man. For me, Facebook's like a media stream to like get information. You know, like I like some of the stuff, you know, and then of course the stupid videos, they sell me stuff with their algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and I've been meaning to do whether it a class or a show topic on social media. I got to see. I've been saying it for a while, but man, I got my little running list of, like, ideas come in my head of topics and things I want to do. And then stuff comes up, different things come out.
I got to write that down so I can bug you like every week.
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah. I've been wanting to do some stuff on social media. I've been wanting to talk about, they got that documentary that came out on Netflix, and I was reading about it, and they talk about how, like, social media, like, maps you and brain maps you and all that stuff like that.
Freedom!
I wanted to. But I don't know. I got to see. I got on there. Oh, so David said the Twitter is active. Okay. All right.
Oh,
right.
It is.
Okay. I guess I don't know because I ain't on there.
Yeah.
I should subscribe and like to our own Twitter, right? I'll tell everybody else to get on there. I'm going to have to go give us some support on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, how many posts on Twitter?
200 to 300.
Really?
Per week.
Wow.
On Twitter, like us, yeah. Like Phoenix or just IUIC?
Phoenix.
What?
Phoenix?
Yeah. Anywhere. I'll say anywhere.
I mean, I got Twitter like for Israel United and Christ, like the main one.
Yeah. Anywhere between, I'll say 150 and 300 posts a week.
Damn. Y'all getting it in, bro?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Y'all say, hey, I'm gonna shut up then. Y'all doing your thing. I didn't even know.
All right.
The last reports I looked at was low, but that's good.
I don't know. Okay. All right. We're getting it in on Twitter. That's what's up. I didn't know all that.
No,
I didn't know all that. Hey, before I jump into the topic, I gotta do this Facebook sharing to the other pages. So can y'all, you know, handle that while I do this? I'm gonna throw it to you.
Like, you said he gonna throw it to me?
Nah, I'm just glad to be back from being just jacked the hell up, and I was sick.
You were jacked the hell up.
Yep. I was sick, man, but I'm back with my brothers. I came back to MOV, so I'm glad, man. I'm just
back in
the house, you know what I mean?
All praises.
Yeah, I'm like a visitor here, you know what I mean? Eric's like the regular on the show, so I had to get in where I fit in.
He has become the regular.
Bruh.
All praises to the Most High.
For real, man, for real. Man, I still got to hit that, watch that topic that you taught with Cuba in School of the Americas, man.
Okay, all right.
That thing was fire, man, but...
Go ahead. I'm still doing this. Do your thing.
See, he talks to me to just go ahead and talk.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, you know, Eric could talk too. I just, you know.
Oh, no, Eric got me talking to myself. I'm over here talking to myself.
I said all praises.
Come on, man.
See, I'm like Zara. I'm about to just sit here and just.
Nah, Zara did a great job, bro, on Saturday, man. He did a really good job on the Saturday show. Wow. See, I'm feeling bad that I didn't support Twitter.
Right.
He didn't even watch the damn show.
I was jacked up. I'm going to go back. Hey, for my officer, I'm going to go back. I'm going to watch the show. I know it was your first one, so I know it was fire. I know it was fire. So, y'all, hey, tune in. Go watch that thing. Yeah. Saturday.
He did all right.
That brother kind of quiet, Officer Zara. Nah,
I think he just has a quiet demeanor. Yeah. I wouldn't say he's quiet. He just has a quiet demeanor.
Right.
Yeah, he has a quiet demeanor. Yeah, there's a difference. Yeah.
I was asking the brother, what tribe you from, man? He was like, Judah. I was like, are you sure, man?
Yeah. He said, you sure?
Come on, man.
No, but watch that thing on Saturday. We got the English Power Hour. We got the Spanish Power Hour every other week. So y'all brothers tune in, man. Tune in. Some fire stuff coming out of IUIC Phoenix. Are we trying to get Tucson rocking? We just did 30 days of camp.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Hey, it was our first one. We made history. So all praise to the Most High, man. I was able to endure that thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Talk to the people about that. What was your experience with 30 days of camp? While I finished setting this up?
No, all praises. That's a good question or good statement you brought up there, Cap, man. It was some spirits out there, man. I definitely grew in the spirit with going to 30 days of camp for sure. We was around the city. Some dangerous spots we was out there. I didn't know that you could really get that much danger in Arizona.
It just took going out at night to see it, right?
Yeah, like they said, we've been saying there's like a theme of the freaks come out at night, man.
So, different spirits at night.
Yeah. It was definitely some crazy experiences. We had some brothers out there that was, you know, LGBTQQQ, MLMNOP brothers.
RSTUV.
Yeah, we had those brothers out there. So, but a lot of the spirits repented. They all heard praises. The word, so all praises that the Lord help us get the victory.
Yes, sir.
All praises to the Most High. All praise to the Most High. All right, I'm just getting back up in here. So, I don't know what's going on with the internet as far as the Wi-Fi. You guys got to let me know what the story with that is. That's slowing me down when I want to look things up. It took me longer than usual to share these posts and stuff because of that. So.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, shout out to Tucson. Yeah, Tucson, we got, that's some diligent brothers down there. They make their way up here, two to three hours driving every Sabbath, one way, them and their families. They stay in the spirit. Hey, didn't we have that one brother? He was like taking the bus at times up here from down there and all that, right?
He's whipping now, though.
Yeah, oh, he got the whip now?
He's whipping now.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's that brother that professed Judah, but really looked like Gad, right? Yeah. Like hard body. He looked like Black Indian Gad.
Yeah,
like
that brother Northern Kingdom.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, he can't deny
it. It ain't even.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You could just look at him.
Uh-huh.
Just,
yep. Man, I know. He repping Judah. I mean, he do grow a nice fro.
Yeah, he do.
But, nah, man, the rest of.
I seen some Ephraim with some nice fros, too.
Though. Yeah, I know. A little fro envy.
Oh, my brother NK, for sure.
Got a little fro envy, you know. My thing is all wavy, so like, can't really do much with it.
Nice.
Yeah,
you should have seen Cat with the Judah, the Caesar, bro.
Oh, when we were in lockdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know when all them barbershops and everything was closed. My hair was wolfing. I said I need a fade. So you know, and Mariah was like, hey. You know, Officer Issachar be cutting some hair. He pretty decent. I said, word. I said, all right, man, let me try him out. So, you know, I had the brothers over the crib. I did a little brisket, a little mac and cheese, you know. He was hanging out, some of the officers and whatnot. So, you know, he gave me the fade.
Yeah.
Man, he gave me the ill Judah fade on the first go, man. That was his first thing. He went, like I'm looking around the room. Everybody's like, yeah, he's the only brother that did me right. He looked at me. He made this face. Officer Nehemiah looked at me. He went. He said, look, all right, man, it's off, man. He said, I don't know, man. I'm not sure. He didn't say Judah yet.
Right.
I said, bro, bring it up a little. Let me look. He had it real low. I said, bring it up a little higher. So he went up a little bit. He said, you know what? He said, you see, before you was looking like the Judah fade. He goes, now you got the, he said, now you got the Northern Kingdom fade. I said, man. I said, gosh.
That was funny.
Yep, I do remember that. I do remember
that. You'll let him do it again?
He gave a good cut. He gave a good cut. In a you know, in a jam.
It was solid.
Yeah, nah, it wasn't bad, you know. I mean, at that point, you know, having gone like two months of change without a cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I was like, man, what is going on? But anyway, all right. So the topic. We're talking about patriotism, which we gave a lead into the show last week called Americanism, all right, patriotism. And they're interchangeable, all right? Americanism is more specific. That's where the difference is. Patriotism could be for any country, right? Americanism is America's form of patriotism, which is quite different. We're going to show that on the show today. It's quite different than what that is. And we're going to see that it drives like a cult-like mindset. You know, this is why... You know, you kind of saw the rise of that. I don't even want to say the rise. You saw the rise of the awareness of that when Trump came into office. And now he's gone, and you still have that whole ilk of people behind that where they'll say the most irrational things and do the most type of rational thing that you traditionally, you know, you wouldn't see in in politicians. We would be like, man, what the hell?
Right.
They were saying some wild stuff, you know. What I mean, we always knew they were full of crap, but once upon a time you looked at the politics, they were at least polished about it. Right.
Right.
Now it's like some whole other stuff, you know, and then with social media and everything else, they kinda out there. So I wanna break that down. But let's just look at the definition of ism first, all right? And what makes anything an ism. All right, just like ish means to be like something.
Mm-hmm.
So ism, when they say it's an ism, it means it's a distinctive doctrine, theory, system, or practice, all right? Distinctive means it has specific characteristics. So when I say Americanism is the American form of patriotism, which could be applicable to any country to be patriotic with, it's a distinctive doctrine. It differs. It's very similar to patriotism, but it differs. And the heavy thing is that the fact that it ends in an ism, I mean, you wouldn't think of politics and the way you feel about your country as a doctrine.
Right.
You wouldn't think that, right? It seems and it sounds like a religion, so to speak, right? And most people wouldn't see it that way. You know, they put theory, they put system, right? So you have systems here, right? Governmental systems. Institutionalized racism, systems that make things like, you know, they say, and I think we touched on it with the Americanism, and when we go back and read it, they'll say, you know, that's as American as apple pie. Well, racism is as American as apple pie as well, you know? So it's interesting when you see that. And then it also says practice, right? So it's also put in practice, meaning that you can click on it if you did it already. Yeah, click on practice. Let me see what it says. Habitual or customary performance or how it operates. All right. So Americanism or any ism deals with doctrine. It's a doctrine. Mm-hmm. All right. That it's going into. Let's jump to actually, let me get that in. Hold on a second. I want to look it up. Because I'm going to misquote it. Let me just look it up. Y'all can say something. That's your cue to not just sit there and cough. Gosh.
Come on,
can
man.
I get some talkative co-host?
My goodness.
What is going on here?
You're
supposed to be jumping in on the show with the brothers at some point, too. What's going on?
Yeah. I'm definitely
going to be
jumping
in. Come on, man. It's not like you don't talk. Are you gun-shy because you're on the show?
No, you know, I'm just like, you know, I'm a visitor right now. So I'm trying to get in where I fit in.
No. That visitor stuff is out the door. You need to jump up and step up while I look stuff up.
No, definitely.
I want to look something up. Go ahead. Speak. It's definitely.
Freedom!
Your wife watching?
I'm sure she is.
Say something. Go ahead, soldier. Go ahead. Show how it's done.
Oh,
show the officer how it's done.
I think America got to be like the most like patriotic place because you like we went over last week how the American flag, how it's everywhere. And you said other countries aren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't see that like unless it's like the embassy or something. But these Edomites super, super patriotic.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Yes, y'all could keep talking. I'm looking at stuff. Come on now.
Bruh.
Damn, we got these. Producer, you want to jump in and save them?
Daniel,
the last week, I mean, like Soldier Eric just said, you got this, all these so-called quote-unquote patriots in America. America's the only place you see a truck that sit 30 feet off the ground with five American flags on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you... In some areas, you know, you worried when that truck ride through, depending on what kind of spirit you're rolling in.
Right.
And that put fear in our people. But we got to bring our people back to, you know, to the guys they are and understand that this place is going to come crashing down.
Yes, sir. This is not our rest. And our people love it here, man.
That's it. Damn, all that dead air.
Damn.
See, man, I'm just going to. Yeah. Oh my gosh!
Hey, see, now I'm gonna have to redeem myself. We gotta get to the topic. I gotta say something because he put it out there now.
Dang. Oh, you guys are terrible, man. This man. Lord forbid I get sick, man. You're gonna carry 2 hour show
like this.
We can't.
That was our show.
let me get Ephesians 4:14. All right. So why is this important? Because sometimes it's subtle and you don't realize that you hear certain things about the American way of life and you think that you're above it or out of it, even if you're not a repenting Israelite, right? Because it definitely can happen to you as a repenting Israelite. I brought that out where I showed how there's sometimes schisms between Northern and Southern Kingdom that's right. Really based on things that were planted in each other's heads, right? Based on that sort of thing,
right.
And not something that's based on factuality, right? So doctrines are seducing, right? And there's a lot of scriptures on doctrines, but a lot of times we hear doctrine and we think traditional religions, mm-hmm. We think traditional denominations and things like that. So let me get Ephesians 4, and let's start at 14.
Yes, sir. This is the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 14.
Freedom!
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro.
Actually, start at 13. Go ahead.
Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Right. So, a lot of people like to drop Christ, I'm following Christ. I'm talking about in Israel. Mm-hmm. We know how Christianity runs with that, with those terms, and they say those type of things. But a lot of people, and they don't understand how heavy and the depths of Christ's teachings really are.
Right.
The world at large largely believes it's this love thing. It's this people love to say, I'm following after Christ. But the hard things, people don't really follow after Christ when those hard things come.
Right.
Christ said some hard things for us mm-hmm. to deal with while he was here. Christ said, I don't come to make peace. I come with a sword.
Right.
Christ said, I come to make enemies of them of your own household. I come to show you divisions, and it's going to be people closest to you. Right? Christ said that those that don't serve me, right, let them be put to death.
Right.
The Bible tells you he was an austere man.
But
everybody just wants to focus on the love aspect.
Yeah, they got the wrong Christ.
Right. No, they got the wrong Christ. Right. They got the Christ that's planted in their minds. Mm-hmm. But that's mixed up in this ism of Americanism,
right.
Patriotism, mm-hmm. all right, as well. The depths of understanding Christ goes deeper than that. The funny thing is it's our own stumbling blocks of these other doctrines. When I get to verse 14, I'm going to make the connection and show you the point. That make it that way, because the Bible also tells you this: it's simplicity in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it difficult and the depths, and makes it hard for you to see the depths, is all the murkiness, right? So it's like you look in like murky water, right? Let's say it's like polluted water. There's a lot of soot or sediment in the water,
right?
You can't see down to the depths of the bottom, right? Versus you go someplace tropical and you see this pristine beach and
clear.
Water's clear straight through and stuff like that. And in this scenario, that murkiness and all that debris and all that sediment is all these other doctrines, right? So this is why in verse 13, he talks about, listen, you have to make sure that we all come together in the unity of the faith, not just any unity.
Right.
It's the unity of the faith and understanding the depths of that faith in Christ, right? Come on. And he says, and of the knowledge
Oh, you want me to go? Okay.
And verse
of the
13,
knowledge of the Son of God.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God. In the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Meaning letting you know that there's a specific knowledge. It's kind of like you go to dental school and then you go to a specialty. Or you go to be a general doctor and then you have a specialty. Right? There's the general medical knowledge. There's the general biblical knowledge that we have. Mm-hmm. And then there's the knowledge of the Son of God. Right? Which has different depths. Come on.
Unto a perfect man.
And that knowledge, but the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God is going to make you a perfect man. Mm-hmm. Come on. Or woman. Come on.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Right. And stature is dealing with height. Stature is dealing with grandeur. And it says there's a measure that we need to measure up to, right? And it's not your baseball players. It's not your celebrities,
right?
There's a measure. And it says that measure needs to be the fullness, meaning there's a fullness to it because some people will do a partness in Christ, but not the fullness, right? And the stature of it, because it takes a certain stature to be able to stand stiffly for Christ, to be able to stand stiffly for the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
All right? Read on.
That we henceforth.
Verse
14.
See if you can pull this one to you.
Yeah.
And you can keep those same headphones. Just pull that one to you.
Hold on. Let me get that off for you. Go ahead.
We got to do some sound checks in here during the week. Is that on?
Hello.
You want me to read it for you?
Yeah. Let's try to work on that. Producers, if you got to come in here and fix it, we need his mic working. I don't know if it's the soundboard, if something's not plugged securely. He was having issues last week, too. All right, let's try to get this fixed. All right, go ahead. Read this for me.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro.
Right, so he says, stop being childish. A lot of times we look at when Paul talks about put away childish things, and there's levels to that, too, right? You put it on the surface. He's speaking about charity specifically in that. So he's talking about, don't have that malice and all that other stuff. But he says, don't be like children. In what manner? Come on.
Tossed to and fro.
Tossed to and fro. Because children believe anything. My daughter came to me with something the other day. Something that's real foolish about this place, they say it's like this or something with food or something. And it was like, wow, it wasn't like a subtle. You know how there's like gelatin and subtle things and stuff that you wouldn't expect it. No, this was like some wild thing. Like, yeah, it's this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where'd you hear that? I said, did YouTube teach you that? I said, you gotta stop watching YouTube. I said, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
And she was like, no, my cousin saw it on YouTube. He told me. Said, same thing.
Same thing.
But they'll believe almost anything.
Right.
You can tell them that stuff and you just go with it. They'll just run with that stuff. So he says, don't be like children tossed to and fro, right? Letting you know that, remember, the topic here is growing up.
Right.
He's talking about growing up into the fullness and stature of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it's not this physical growing up where we think about, yeah, I'm a man or yes, I'm a woman and, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm old and all this other stuff. Come on. Read.
And carried about with every wind of doctrine.
He says, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. All right. So he's letting you know doctrine. And when we hear that word doctrine, we automatically think Christianity. Catholicism wasn't invented at this time. Right. It's not talking about denominations. Now, the Bible is forever.
Mm-hmm.
That falls under those categories now. But what I'm trying to show you is that, and I've said this before on the show, that politics, and it's not just politics, but the whole construct that is America, that is the global commerce and United Nations and all that, but we're dealing with America specifically, the whole construct that is America was carefully thought out and planned. And it wasn't what they teach you in the history books about it being this. They came here. They wanted religious freedom.
Right.
And they wanted this. And we, the people, the Declaration of Independence and all this other stuff like that. Right. No, we hold these truths to be self-evident.
All men are created.
All men are created equal. Right. Meanwhile, Israel was in captivity during that time period, but all men are created equal.
Right.
That's why subtleties.
Why we still 3/5 of a man.
Right.
All that,
the subtleties of all that. And it says every wind of doctrine. And how does that doctrine come? Come on.
By the sleight of men.
By the sleight of men. Come on.
And cunning craftiness.
Read.
Whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Right. So they lie in wait to deceive. Doctrine, okay, we just read it, an ism is a distinctive doctrine, theory, system, or practice, okay? Americanism, that patriotism that is America, is a form of that doctrine, is a form of that, and it hits you in subtle ways. And if you're not set up and built up in this, like we read in verse 13, you're going to let those things seep in. And it's going to show even as you roll in this walk. Even as you're rolling and trying to work on yourself in this walk, you'd be like, damn, you know, I'm gonna start telling people, wow, how American of you. That's gonna be my new line when somebody do something foolish against the scriptures. How American of you.
It used to be a saying, that's a mighty white of you.
Right. How American of you is that? No, right. True. So let's go to the Americanism piece. All right. And I know I have a lot of things up. Hold on. I'm trying to lift this up here. Okay. Let me bring this front and center. And I read it as an intro last week. We're going to spend some time on it. I still got a lot of tabs and everything. We'll see how much we get into it. All right. Let's go to the Americanism. I did post it, right? Oh, let's do the definition. Yeah. And then there should also be the wiki page. So Americanism, it's a characteristic feature of American English, especially as contrasted with British English. So they're saying language here. Attachment or allegiance to the traditions, interests, or ideals of the U.S. And that attachment piece is what makes it a doctrine, is what makes it this infectious thing that people, that's what I say, it's like as American as apple pie. A custom or trait that's peculiar to America, meaning very particular to America. Right. Now, racism is the world over. The Bible teaches us that. It says we're a proverb and a byword wherever the Most High will lead us among all nations. It says the political principles and practices essential to American culture, meaning it's not American culture if those things aren't set up that way.
Right.
Right. So let's go to the Wikipedia. Americanism. Here we go. Americanism, also referred to as American patriotism, is a set of United States patriotic values. All right. Notice it says America. Remember, I said it's interchangeable. I'm not making stuff up. It's also referred to as American patriotism. Mm-hmm. All right. Meaning very specific to America, a distinct doctrine that many of our people are carried about with, is a set of United States patriotic values aimed at creating a collective American identity. That goes into like baseball, apple pie, you know, I mean, whatever it is that they claim, you know, so I don't even want to say foods because nothing is really theirs,
right?
You know, they say burgers and hot dogs. I don't even think they take credit for any of that stuff. But it says it's aimed at creating a collective American identity. When you're talking about a collective, it means everybody's going to speak the same thing.
Right.
Everybody's going to be on one accord when it comes to that stuff, right? And can be defined as an articulation of the nation's rightful place in the world. So with that Americanism comes that pomp, right? That they're better than everyone else, right? The pride of their heart, like it speaks about. All right, let's read that real quick in Obadiah. Because America was established by, set up by, run by, and still to this day, okay, governed by, just because they sprinkle in some of our people that look all right, okay, that kind of look like us, we know who's really calling the shots,
right,
and who's
right.
still running the show.
That's
right?
Trick baby stuff.
Right. yes, exactly.
You want verse 3, Cap?
Start at 1, and then you could jump to verse 3.
This is the book of Obadiah.
Actually, read all the way down through to 1 through 3. Go ahead.
Verse 1. Freedom!
Actually, some Bibles have a little intro, all right? And I want you to see what it says here. Read in verse 1. We're fine. Just do that.
Verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom.
Right. So the topic of Obadiah's vision is Edom. Edom is the so-called white man in the earth today. All right. You read that in Genesis, the 25th chapter. Okay. He was red and hairy. Okay. It's talking about the so-called white man. All right. Today. And it says, this is the vision concerning Edom. Come on.
We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle.
Right. So it says, arise ye, let us rise up against her in battle. Come on.
Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen.
So this is the vision that he's talking about when America starts its decline. All right. There's other scriptures that support it. When it's outside the scope of what we're going to talk about today, where it goes into how basically all her allies are going to turn against her. Right. They're going to be wroth. They're going to turn against America. And they're going to seek to destroy her. And a lot of it has to do with this Americanism. All right. They're going to get fed up and look for that opportunity to turn against her. And it's all of the Lord. He's going to put in their spirit to do so. Come on.
Thou art greatly despised.
Greatly despised. And they're not just greatly despised now. When this happens, there's they despise Americans all through the world. You go to certain countries and they're like, oh, yeah, that American attitude, that American pomp. They respect out of fear because they know that America is the top power. But the issue that's had is with how America operates and acts. And they hate America. Deep down, they hate America. The only reason they deal with America is because they know that America basically holds all the cards.
Right.
Come on.
Verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived.
Letting
thee.
You know that it's a prideful thing. And I'm going to show you, this is also going to solidify some of this prophecy as to where the chief Edomites are today here in America, and that it starts with America. Because this patriotism, it's excessive in America. It's not the same as other countries. Mm-hmm. It's overdone. This whole thing, I think I had spoke about the American flag being everywhere mm-hmm. and all of that.
Right.
That's unusual. You don't go to other countries, and if it's not a police station,
right.
a diplomatic place, something of that nature, they're not putting flags up all over there, you know, unless it's like a national day to do
right,
that.
Right, right.
Here, it's like all over the place. They build the houses now with a flagpole. I remember I was in my backyard one time. I'm looking up. I said, what the hell have I got a flagpole in my house?
Right.
What the hell is this? Mm-hmm. Right. And my house was a new build, so they built it with the flagpole. Already
part
positioned to be in there.
Hey, Cap, if you notice, some stuff you buy, too, now you can't buy it without that American flag being branded on
uh-huh. it. Yeah, yeah, they got that thing all over the place, you know? And, man, I'm at the gym, all the freaking Edomites with the damn tattoos, the American flag right. or the eagle with the American flag, yeah. right? Then they take the American flag and, you know, they'll do the blue line and then a green line and then, right. you know, to, yeah, we want to honor the troops and everything else.
Right.
It's cult-like behavior.
No, it is.
It's cult-like behavior. It's an ideology, all right? It's a doctrine
mm-hmm.
that many of our people fall for. Some of us were deeply ingrained in it.
Right.
No, for
even
sure.
if you were not pro-America, you were very pro-American mm-hmm. in how we operated.
Yep.
Right.
Go ahead. So it says, the pride of the heart, come on.
The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee.
Read.
Thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?
So I wanted that part as I read this Americanism again. And it says it can be defined as an articulation of the nation's rightful place in the world, meaning they sit up high and who's going to bring them down to the ground. That's where that thing is driven by. That's where that thing is driven by. It reminds me, I just popped into my head now. I don't know if any of y'all seen Conan. Right, with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
mm-hmm.
And I think it was Conan.
Arnold who, Captain?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think it's Conan. Is Conan the Destroyer the first one?
The Barbarian is the first one.
And then the one where he went with the basketball player.
Okay.
That one's the Barbarian.
Yeah, you mean the one with Grace Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
So when he meets the little Asian dude.
Yes, that's
right.
Destroyer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Him and the little Asian dude are having a discussion mm-hmm. about whose God is greater.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he's like, oh, you know, my God, the Barbarian God, is this. And he said, my God sits above where your God sits right. or whatever. That's the same thing that happens with this ideology of Americanism. Mm-hmm. oh, my country's greater than your country.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They don't say God, but they're saying those type of things. Yeah, my God will destroy your God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on and so forth. So showing you the parallels that it's religious, all right? That's all I wanted on that in Obadiah, all right? So it's an articulation of the nation's rightful place in the world. It's a set of traditions. It's a political language. It's a political language, which still goes into what we've been talking about on the show the past few weeks with how they can justify racism through symbolic racism and still be able to defend and say that it's not racism.
Right.
It's so endemic in America, right? And then obviously it spreads to other parts of the world. That they have their own language around it. It has a distinct political language and a cultural style. So meaning even your everyday cultural how doings, it's imbued with political meaning. Meaning it's all related together. There's no separation of it. You know, they talk about separation of church and state.
Right. Yeah.
What they're talking about is separation of denominations of churches and the state. But really when they talk about God and country, they're really talking about the God of this country, right?
Right.
It's kind of like that show, American Gods, right? They canceled that thing. That thing was good as hell. And, you know, they talk about the globalism is a new God. Technology is a new God. Mm-hmm. And I forgot what her name was for the one for entertainment. She was the one that was like in the TV and stuff like that. And those were like the new gods, right? And they call them American gods because it's the gods of what America is, that people don't see it as that type of thing.
Right.
And in that show, they parallel it with more traditional gods, right? To show you that distinction, right? Because you were never taught a god of globalism,
right?
He's called Mr. World.
Right.
Wow. You know, they're trying to, you know, lately leadership's been bringing out how they want to do a one world religion.
Right.
Right. You know, they talk about the new world order. That thing is already here. They're just trying to bring that thing together. Right. Different parallels. All right. Technology is people's gods. I mean, look at how much your screen time you burn into your face.
Right.
And it's not just your phone. It starts from your phone. It starts from here. This is at your bedside. You use it as your alarm.
Right.
Like that wasn't by accident, and it wasn't just driven by money.
Right.
It was set up to put these type of things in front of you, from the media machine to everything else. I think it was Ms. Media. That was the other one. That was that god in that one too. There's like a list of the names of those American gods.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, yo, American Gods is good. They canceled it after I don't know if it was two or three seasons because it was getting too heavy. Like three seasons, they stopped it.
Yeah, it's three because I saw it.
And then they fired this guy, Orlando. What the hell's his name? Forgot his name, man.
Dude. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but it was that show got a lot of heavy little pieces that you can pull and do stuff with. It was on Stars. What's that now?
Mr. Orlando Jones.
Orlando Jones.
Mr. Nancy.
Yeah, he was like a traditional African guy, but he was spitting truth about America, right? Mm-hmm. So this same topic, you can see shades of that in that show, in that series, all right?
And, technical boy.
Yeah, technical boy, right. And then I know Mr. World was globalism. And what was the media one?
The media was...
what was her name?
Can't remember her name.
I'll
find it.
Nah, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to go to IMDb. Because it tells you the cast and the characters they play. All right? And I'm going to look it up. American Gods. I'm mad that they canceled that thing. And let me see. Yeah, they had a whole bunch of different gods in there. Gosh, she was only in it in the first season. What did they have? Gillian Anderson. And she was Miss Media. So you have Mr. World.
Mm-hmm.
You had Technical Boy. Where the hell is she? I want to say it was Media. I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, her name is New Goddess, New Media.
New Goddess, New Media.
Mm.
Okay. You have it up there? Does it show it up there? They got someone else to play her, and they downplayed her role after that, but... it was pretty good. When you look into it, it talks about all of that. So that show goes into this whole American ideology piece, all right? To show you that it's a religion, it's a doctrine, all right? It's driven by the same type of things that drive people to any type of religion. it's just different, right? And the Bible of America is the Constitution,
right?
Right. You know, the Declaration of Independence and all those things.
Legends.
Right. The history is their wars that they've been in and all the stuff that they've done and how, you know, they feel like, you know, and they'll say God was on their side, but it was basically their setup and how they articulated this. So it says, according to the American Legion, a U.S. veterans organization, Americanism is an ideology or belief in devotion, loyalty, or allegiance to the United States of America or to its flag. Or to its flag. So you know how people they worship the crucifix, right? That's their version of the crucifix is the flag. Its traditions, its customs, its culture, its symbols, all that symbolism that it stands for, its institutions or form of government. In the words of Theodore Roosevelt, Americanism is a question of spirit, conviction, and purpose, not of creed or birthplace. Right? So this is all religious, okay? Americanism has two different meanings. It can refer to the defining characteristics of the United States, and it can also signify loyalty to the United States and a defense of American political ideals. These ideals include but are not limited to self-government, equal standing in court. We know that's a lie.
Right.
Freedom of speech and a belief in progress. Right. Progress for whom? Right.
Right.
So the history of Americanism. In an essay devoted to Americanism, Agnes Repplier emphasized that of all the countries in the world, we and we only have any need to create artificially patriotism, which is the birthright of other nations, letting you know that Edom's full of crap. So they're telling you, like, other nations, they have things that they can, you know, rest their hat on and say, hey, you know, this is what we're famous for. This is what we're known for. America's most famous for slavery. Right? And, I mean, the whole world was complicit in that. But historically, in more recent times, they're most famous for that. So she says it's artificially created, meaning people wouldn't be patriotic about this place. It wouldn't rest right in people's spirit. But it does because they create this this artificial patriotism. Since the racial and ethnic demographic alterations of the American population caused by the 1965 Hart-Celler Act, we're going to read about that in a moment, Americanism has been rooted less in shared culture experiences and more in shared political ideas. So let's read about the Hart-Celler Act real quick, all right? So it says Americanism, ever since this act, has been rooted less in shared cultural experience and more in shared political ideas. So click on that, the Hart-Celler Act. All right, let's read about that briefly. Let me just make sure this is what I want. All right. Okay. The Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, also known as the Hart-Celler Act, and more recently as the 1965 Immigration Act, is a federal law passed by the 89th United States Congress and signed into law by President Lyndon B. Johnson. The law abolished the National Origins Formula. Just click on that real quick. The National Origins Formula was an American system of immigration quotas used from 1921 to 1965, which restricted immigration from the Eastern Hemisphere on the basis of natural origin using a mathematical formula. All right. So from 1921 to 1965, for all their thing about they don't want, you know, Mexicans and people,
right,
they didn't want immigration. They limited it mathematically from that side of the world, right? Europe and everything, the Eastern Hemisphere, okay? They changed that with the 1965 Immigration Act, okay? You can move off of that. So it had been the basis of U.S. immigration policy since the 1920s. The act removed de facto discrimination against Southern and Eastern Europeans, Asians, as well as other Northwestern European ethnic groups from American immigration policy. All right? The National Origins Formula had been established in the 1920s to preserve American homogeneity by promoting immigration from Northwestern Europe during the 1960s. All right. So remember, it says they wanted to. So in one word, they tell you that it was to prevent people from Eastern Europe and stuff coming. Basically, they manipulated immigration policy so they can get who they wanted to get over here.
Right.
So they allowed Northwestern Europeans to come, right? So that means they didn't want Russians, Serbians, right. Czechoslovakians,
right?
When you think of Northwestern Europeans, you're looking at Greece, Italy, right? Spain, Great Britain. Those people were welcome, right?
Right.
Those people were welcome. We didn't want the other ones coming over here because they were trying to preserve their whiteness.
Right.
All right. They wanted their whiteness, letting you know, even though they're all related, all right, they're trying to let you know distinctly who they wanted to come over here.
Mm-hmm.
During the 1960s, at the height of the civil rights movement, this approach increasingly came under attack for being racially discriminatory. All right. So basically they severed that and they did something else. So now let's go back to Americanism. All right. And it says, so basically, since the racial and ethnic demographic alterations of the American population changed with that Hart-Celler Act, Americanism has been rooted less in shared cultural experiences because that homogeneity that they had, that homogenousness of the same type of people with the same mindset started to change a little bit, right? Because you have people from different cultures and different cultural experiences coming in. So they made a shift in their Americanism towards political, right? So this is where they started to really emphasize even more the great melting pot, you know, come here and just participate in all nations being one, all right? The concept of Americanism has been around since the first European settlers moved to North America, inspired by a vision of a shining city on a hill. And if you read that, if you click on City on a Hill, it goes into, they try to say in Matthew 5 where it talks about that.
Wow.
They took that to mean for them to be that light to the world.
Wow.
And that's heavy because what does Lucifer mean, right? It talks about son of the morning, right? The light bearer.
Yeah.
Right? So they took all that to mean themselves, mm-hmm. right? So they had a doctrine when they first got here. And it was inspired by a vision of a shining city on a hill that cannot be hid. This goes back to what we read in the beginning about Americanism, their rightful place in the world. It's like what we read in Obadiah 1 and 3, where it talks about the pride of their heart, who will bring me down, all right? It goes into the manifest destiny, which we've discussed on this show, and we've broken down, right? And they even had a deity for that, right, into the West and what they were bringing with all of that, all right? So it was all driven by this. John Adams wrote that the new settlements in America were the opening of a grand scene and design in providence. They would call it providence, meaning they feel God is on their side for the illumination of the ignorant and the emancipation of the slavish part of mankind all over the earth. Slavish meaning the slaves, okay? So he says, basically, we're going to bring light to these natives, to these slaves.
Right.
And the light is going to be like us.
Yep.
We are. So they really took. Let's read that in Matthew 5. All right. See, Christ was really talking about us as Israel. Mm-hmm. Right. And showing forth us the keeping of the commandments. Okay. Matthew 5 starts up around what? 12, 13?
Yeah, 14.
What were you saying, Soldier?
I was going to say with that manifest destiny picture, it literally is them dragging all of their customs and all of their beliefs onto onto the Gad's land.
Right. You can pull up the picture while we go over the scripture if you want to show that point. All right? You can pull it up. I know we didn't have it ready, but you can pull it up. Read this real quick.
You want 13 to 14 or just 14?
You can restart at 13.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
So they really thought that this was talking about themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? We know that the laws is what's going to preserve the earth, right?
Yes, sir.
It's for our sakes that God made it. And by us keeping the commandments, he's going to give us back what was rightfully ours from the creation,
right.
All right? But so they actually take this city on a hill vision, all right, this doctrine, this providence, and they try to apply this to themselves in the scripture. Read on.
It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Right, so that's what we just read, the city on a hill doctrine. They believe that they are the light of the world. That's why you see John Adams with the quote that we just read. Was that it on that verse?
That's it.
Right? So it says John Adams wrote that the new settlements in America were the opening of a grand scene and design in Providence for the illumination of the ignorance. They were just coming from Europe. So who is he speaking about? He's talking about us.
That's right.
And their illumination was that light of Satan, that right, light of right. Lucifer that they wanted to bring.
And when he clicked on it, it actually said, and light.
Right.
So they're using all of it.
Right, right. Go ahead, click on it again, all right? Go up, city on a hill.
Yep.
It says a city upon a hill, all right? No, you got it. Just no, yeah, don't. I'm sorry. I don't mean click on it. I mean hover over it. That's going to be the best way to do it. Is a phrase derived from the teaching of salt and light in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In a modern context, it is used in United States politics to refer to America acting as a beacon of hope for the world.
Statue of Liberty.
Wow.
So they robbed from our history and our Bible to create their own religion called Americanism.
Right.
And they believe that they are this. So that's why John Adams wrote, the new settlements in America were the opening of a grand scene and design in Providence for the illumination of the ignorant and the emancipation of the slavish part of mankind all over the earth. And the emancipation wasn't from chains. He was just talking about from following the customs that we were following.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Kill the Indian, save the man.
Right.
That was what they were going into. All right? Such understanding of Americanism was common thinking throughout the New World after the American Revolutionary War, with expectations that the newly independent nation would become more than what Thomas Paine called an asylum for mankind.
Yeah.
They knew that they were going to be this place, all right? That they would be all one. This is where that doctrine started to come from, mm-hmm. about let's all be one nation. Let's all come together. All right. Where am I in that? So, yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I stopped at a paragraph and not in the middle. Mm-hmm. Let me get Esther 13 and 4. All right. Let's read this real quick. This is why we're such a problem as Israel's waking up. All right. Because it's more than just, you would say, well, no, you know, the right to practice religion and all this other stuff. So long as it's a religion that falls under the banner of Americanism, they're all right. Esther in the Apocrypha, the rest of Esther, sorry, the rest of Esther.
I got you.
13, 4 through 5, all right? Those religions are accepted here because they'll fall under American ideals. But when you profess to be an Israelite, they understand historically that it doesn't fall under that we're going to be a rebellious people. Remember, this still goes with what I've been talking about the white animus toward Latinos, and it's all Israel at large, but I say Latinos because we were those indigenous that John Adams is talking about here,
yeah.
when he says the emancipation of the Slavish. Because remember, he brought Southern Kingdom over from Western Africa and scattered parts after the fact,
mm-hmm.
all right? So this is talking about the natives that were here, which were us, our forefathers, all right? So go ahead, read this.
The book of Esther, chapter 13 and verse 4.
Freedom!
Declared unto us that in all nations throughout the world there was scattered a certain malicious people.
They knew who we were here. That's why he said we're the ignorant and they want to illuminate us. They want to emancipate us. He would use those nice words, their own political language, mm-hmm. to make it seem like they were doing us a service. But remember, you read in Lost Tribes and Promised Lands, now not all of us were off. Some of us were still here, and we knew who we were, right? And we were trying to maintain those customs, all right? Most High had other plans. We had to go through all these different things for that to happen that way. And he sent these freaking devils, all right, to execute that, all right? So it says they knew that there was a people, okay, scattered, and they called us a malicious people because we wouldn't stand for this Americanism, this American ideal. Come on.
That had laws contrary to all nations.
So that's how they frame you up. No, your laws are contrary to all nations, right? Come on.
And continually despise the commandments of kings.
Come on.
So as the uniting of our kingdoms honorably intended by us cannot go forward.
You will prevent us from being that city on a hill. And they understood that they couldn't literally wipe us. Though they tried, they could not wipe us off the face of the earth.
Bring it out.
They're like, damn, we kill them and we kill them and we kill them and we kill them, and it's not working. They said, all right, so now we need to oppress them and not let them go. And it's not just in chains and shackles, all right? But we need to do this from the perspective of changing their mind. Let's illuminate the ignorant.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
Real quick. At my job, when I first came into this walk, I remember when I first came in, like first couple months, I was like, I'm not keeping Christmas. I started to say what days I was keeping. Because, you know, before, you know, you ignorantly say things, right? So they, like, really making me feel bad, like, that I don't celebrate Christmas, that I don't keep, like, literally. So that it just made me think of that. Like, when you read this, it's like, yo.
Bro, you're seen as an oddball.
Yeah.
You're seen as an oddball. I remember I went to get my hair cut. My barber's like, oh, how was your Thanksgiving? I said, I don't celebrate that.
Right.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. You know, didn't ask why not or anything like that, but they just found it to be, like, the strangest thing.
No, but the lady was just, like, on my head the whole day, though, Cap. Like, you really don't? You're going to do that to your kids?
Uh-huh.
Like,
Well, no, that my mom was holding on to stuff like that, right. You know? And they'll tell you, oh, Halloween's for the kids. Yeah. Christmas is for the kids.
Come on, man.
Bruh, I'm trying to tell you, when you was reading this, I'm like, yo, that's that little subtle way that they bring that Americanism. Bro.
Yeah, man, that's how it comes out. That's how it comes out.
No, for real.
Right. So go ahead. Go back to Esther. Read 13 and 4 again.
The book of Esther, chapter 13, verse 4. Declared unto us that in all nations throughout the world, there was scattered a certain malicious people.
So they knew. Historically, they knew about the Israelites in this way. This is why they always tried to come at us, because when they tried to execute these ideals, see, but the Most High had it set for a specific time. So it wasn't until what they accomplished here in America, what they now call America, took hold, that it was established, right. that final vision was established for the last days, right? This is why, you know, the apostles thought it was going to be during Roman times based on prophecy, and Christ told them, no, not yet, right? It's not yet. It's for a time appointed, okay? And historically, you look at that, they knew that there was a set time when it would then start to be the decline. Right. That popped off when America got established, okay? And that's when it was like, okay, now this part of the vision is fulfilled here. Because the rest of the tribes had to go into all those curses again. Mm-hmm. They had to go into Egypt again, right? In captivity again. So it wasn't for that time. It had to be set up and come and happen this way, all right? Read on.
That had laws contrary to all nations.
And you know where our laws come from. So what they mean is the Bible is contrary to all nations. That's really what they're telling you. This holy Bible is contrary to all nations. But Esau, in their craftiness and divisiveness along with the other nations, said, hey, you know what? Every time we try to destroy this thing, it pops back up. You know, God's preserving this thing for them. Instead of destruction, right? And then, you know, because it creates the question of why destroy it, let's actually put it right in front of their face, right? But in order for them not to see it, we have to shine a light in their face. Because, you know, sometimes you think to be illuminated, that's a clever play on words when John Adams says that. We know the illumination that God talks about is us waking up from the deep sleep that we're in, right? Remembering who the Israelites are, who our enemies are, applying these laws, statutes, and commandments in the faith of Christ, right? But you ever notice, right? Police or like you see tactical things, they shine a light. Why do you think there's a light on the front of your gun? Is it for you to see better to shoot?
I'm trying to blind you.
You try to blind the person that's in front of you, right? They're here, right? Yeah. So it not only does it, basically illumination depends on which side of the light you're standing on.
Right.
Like when the cops pull you over, they flash the thing right on your mirror. So you can't look at it.
Yeah. And I'm going to say that again, because we're going to take illumination now into illumination in the mind. It depends on which side of the light you're on. Are you the one shining the light, or are you the one getting the light shined in your face?
Right.
Go ahead, soldier.
I was going to say, too, with the whole cop thing, when they have those big light bars on the front of their car now. So you can't even see them as they walking up to you.
Nope.
Damn.
Nope. You can't see nothing, right? That's all tactics and stuff like that. So when he says illumination of the ignorant, he's talking about let's shine the light of our doctrine of our stuff on them, because we know that this Bible is contrary to what our ultimate agenda is, which is to maintain our rulership, which is to subdue them and keep them down, place in the world. Who can bring me down? The pride of their heart have deceived them. All right, read on.
And continually despise the commandment of kings, so as the uniting of our kingdoms honorably intended by us cannot go forward.
Read on.
Seeing then, we understand that this people alone is continually in opposition unto all men.
It says this people alone, of all the peoples on the face of the earth, we can subdue and overcome all of them. He says, but this people alone are continually in opposition unto all men. Come on.
Differing in the strange manner of their laws and evil affected to our state.
Just by the keeping of our laws puts evil on their state. Mm-hmm. Because now, remember, it says it depends on which side of the light you're on.
Right.
So now we're shining a light back, mm-hmm. right? And as we shine that light back, we're blinding them and we're trying to pull people to our side of the line, mm-hmm. right? So, hey, let me show you what you can't see,
mm-hmm.
right? Let me show you what you're not able to see as they shine this doctrine in your face. Mm-hmm. All right, come on, read.
Working all the mischief they can.
So they call what we do mischievous. Come on.
That our kingdom may not be firmly established.
Right, and that's that city on a hill doctrine that we just read about. It says that our kingdom may not be firmly established. He says, this is the opening of a grand scene and design in providence for the illumination of the ignorant and the emancipation of the slavish part of mankind all over the earth. That whole line is code speak. So let's jump down to the next part. During the antebellum period, throughout the 1830s, 1840s, and 1850s, Americanism acquired a restrictive political meaning due to nativist moral panics. All right? So just click on nativist real quick. It says the no-natives were a nativist political party and movement in the United States in the mid-1850s. The party was officially known as the Native American Party prior to 1855 and simply as the American Party thereafter. You see those guys in the movie Gangs of New York.
Mm-hmm.
When they Daniel Day-Lewis played, it was a hell of an Edomite actor. I got to give props to Daniel. That boy, that
he played that role good. Too.
Man, well, you know, it fit right in with that wickedness. Hell of a freaking actor. He need to be entertainment in the kingdom, Lord. You know, we're gonna put on shows. We need to see some of that. His group, if you've seen that movie, they were the natives. Mm-hmm. When they got sat down, ready for the thing, yeah, the hobnobbers, the whatever, you know, the dead rabbits, mm-hmm. the natives.
Right.
Because they were the people who they say we are the direct descendants of the people who landed here,
right.
Not the ones that came after. Mm. Right. So they had this whole thing going on. It says after increased Irish and German immigration, and you see that in the movie, they hated the Irish. They don't mention the German too much, but they were down on the Irish. Mm-hmm. Right. It led to the growth of American Catholicism because they were largely Protestant when they came here.
Right.
All right. And then so, you know, the Irish came with Catholicism. It says the years from the end of the Civil War to the end of World War II brought new meaning to the term Americanism to millions of immigrants coming from Europe and Asia. Those were times of great economic growth and industrialization and thus brought forth the American scene consisting of industrial democracy and the thinking that the people are the government in America, thinking that they are, but they're not. Uh-huh. Since then, the success of the American nation has brought tremendous power to the notion of Americanism. So it was the wealth. It was them booming an economy to become the world's largest economy. All those events, them inventing and dropping the atomic bomb before anybody else,
mm-hmm.
that solidified their place in the world,
right.
as these are gods.
Yeah.
These are gods. Everybody wants to come here.
Going to the moon first.
Going to the moon
yeah.
first.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff,
yep.
all right? So it says, according to Wendy L. Wall in her 2008 book, Inventing the American Way, The Politics and Consensus from the New Deal to the Civil Rights Movement, Americanism was presented by a national propaganda campaign to contrast with communism, xenophobia, and fascism. Listen to what that's saying. They had the construct of Americanism, but they kept it amongst the elite. They didn't call it that.
Mm-hmm.
In reaction to communism, this is where the American patriotism comes from. This is where this fervent, flag-loving, mm-hmm. excess, arrogant
mm-hmm.
thing that America is known for in the earth, all right, came from. It was a politically driven thing to combat communism because they said, damn, communism might sound appealing to some people. We can't just tell them communism is bad. We got to make people rally behind that, right? Xenophobia, all right? Anti-Chinese sentiment they're talking about. And fascism, right? Far-right authoritarian ultra nationalism. At the time, that's where they're headed now. Americanism has basically warped into all of that in some regard. So it says, during the Cold War, with the benefits of Americanism being promoted through the ideals of freedom and democracy, some organizations have embraced Americanism but have taken its ideals further. For example, the Ku Klux Klan believes that Americanism includes aspects of race, purity of white American, and of American Protestantism.
White power.
Right. Yep. So they're saying, no, Americanism deals with that. But it does.
It does. Yes,
we just read that when you read Esther. It does. It does. But to the masses, they're like, no, we're not. But it does. So it says, professor of political science at Clemson University, C. Bradley Thomas, stated that the meaning of Americanism today, however, is very different. To the extent that the term is even still used, its meaning has been hijacked by both the left and the right. The left most often identifies Americanism with multiculturalism, relativism, environmentalism, regulation, and welfareism. In other words, with progressivism. And remember, ism makes it a religion.
Right.
So you have doctrine and all these things that they have here. And this is why the scripture, when we read that in Ephesians 4, when it says don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine, it's because all these things might sound good to you on some level.
Right.
And because they're spiritually driven, right, not real spiritualism,
right,
you know, as far as it being a doctrine type of thing, it's easy and people start to run into it. That's why, this should give you an inkling into the understanding of why some of our people are so wrapped up, mm-hmm, and it's so hard for them to embrace this. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said the stumbling blocks that are put in our mind in the simplicity of this is easy to follow.
It is.
This is easy to keep. Mm-hmm. Only time it becomes problematic is when they come against us. But as far as an individual, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Multiculturalism, that's not easy. Relativism, environmentalism, regulation, welfareism, none of that stuff is easy.
Nope.
None of them isms are easy to or simple to follow.
Right.
They're complicated. They're confusion.
Mm-hmm.
This is easy to follow, this Bible, these commandments. It's easy to understand. Mm-hmm. It's easy to understand. It's one people that he chose. It's one people that them laws are for. So they have to fill a void, fill a gap, and try to put something in there. The right typically identifies Americanism with Christianity, school prayer, tradition, family values, and community standards. In other words, with social conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
None of these values are, however, uniquely American. In fact, in one form or another, they all have distinctly European provenance that is set in direct opposition to the native meaning of Americanism. You were going to bring something else?
Oh, no, sir.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, I saw you digging. Don't be nervous now. Don't be nervous.
No, it's good.
Right. So really what you wind up having here, all right, let's go to the one that it says statolatry. I had to look up how to pronounce that.
I don't think I've heard that
word. Statolatry, all right?
Statolatry.
So what you really wind up getting here, all right, Americanism is a form of idolatry, but it combines the state. So they call it statolatry, which combines idolatry with the state. It first appeared in Giovanni Gentile's Doctrine of Fascism, published in 1931 under Mussolini's name. It was also mentioned in Gramsci's prison notebooks. It gives you some years, right? Scroll down. The term was used and popularized by Ludwig von Mises in his 1944 work, Omnipotent Government. Mises defines statolatry as being literally worship of the state, analogous to idolatry. That's what Americanism is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what all those things are. That's what Americanism falls under. Statolatry asserts that the glorification and aggrandizement of state or nation is the object of all legitimate human aspiration at the expense of all else, including personal welfare and independent thought. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, like, damn, how can these people so blindly follow these politicians,
mm-hmm,
and all this other stuff? And I don't care what's the lie, because both sides are freaking moronic.
Right.
And it says that it creates this legitimate human aspiration at the expense of all else, including personal welfare and independent thought. Expansion of the power and influence of one state is to be achieved, if necessary, through aggressive war and colonial adventures. Colonial is just a nice way to say imperialism.
Yep.
All right. This is it's the United States falls perfectly under this.
Oh, for sure.
All right? It far exceeds the patriotism of those who recognize the rights of people other than themselves to self-determination and might best be described as super patriotism or chauvinism. All right? So it's letting you know idolatry. Let's get the definition.
It might be state-olatry.
Yeah.
State-olatry.
State-olatry.
Is that how you pronounce it?
No. State-olatry. Mm-hmm. State-olatry. Mm-hmm. It says it on the, it should be there from the links. It's Webster. It was, because I clicked on it from Telegram.
It's to the right a little bit. Three, yeah, right there.
Yep.
No, that's the Wikipedia one.
Oh. Okay.
It should be Merriam-Webster. Oh. It's all right. You probably missed the link. It was in the Telegram. Just click on it. Like type it in. Stat.
State-olatry.
Stat.
Man, that scripture come to mind about they set themselves up as God, bro. That thing come to mind right there.
Jory.
No. You have an I in there.
Yeah, extra O. No, maybe. I don't know. State-olatry.
Wait, you had it. It was there. It was right at the top. Go back. Merriam-Webster. Right there. No, go back.
Just hit the back button.
Hit back. No, hit back. No, that's statutory. Go back. I said go back.
Hit the back button. That's what I got to do.
Go up the first link.
There you go.
There you go.
The hell is this?
Yes, and the pronunciation is state, S-T-A. You have the long, I forgot what the hell it's called over the A. So you say state, not stat.
Yeah, long.
Olatry.
State-olatry.
State-olatry. Definition of state-olatry, worship of the state, advocacy of a high, centralized, and all-powerful national government.
America.
For sure. America.
State-olatry. All right. We learned a new word today. So here's the funny thing about state-olatry, right? All this grandeur of the United States, and let me see which one I want to go to first. And it's not even the most free country. It's not even the most economically free country. Let's get the country rankings.
Nah, that's just all smoke. All
right.
So it is.
The country. Left. Well, the one with the bell. That's it. Let's start with that one first. So here is the 2021 Index of Economic Freedom. So let's see how great America really is as far as economic freedom. Number one is Singapore. Scroll down. You can scroll down. Number one is Singapore, all right? And they don't just measure economic. They measure property rights, judicial effectiveness, government integrity. Mm-hmm. They measure tax burden, government spending, fiscal health. They measure business freedom, labor freedom, monetary freedom, open markets. Singapore is number one. New Zealand's number two. Australia's number three. Switzerland's number four. Ireland's number five. Where's the United States? Keep scrolling.
Nowhere to be found.
Keep scrolling. I think they're 17. No, they're not even 17. They're 20. They're not even in the top 15. They're not even in the top five. That's the only thing free. The only thing free here is the vaccine. So there's this grandeur, and it's not even true.
Right.
There's this fervor for this patriotism, this Americanism, this American patriotism, and it's not even true. There's 19 other countries before you get to where America's ranked, how great they supposedly are. All right? Go to the Quora one, which says, is America more patriotic than other countries? This is a little funny.
It is.
You see, it is a little funny. So someone asked this question. You got two answers here. It says, is the U.S. actually more patriotic? I submit that we are more obsessed with displays of patriotism than patriotism itself. We indoctrinate our children with an oath of allegiance every day. They're in school. We've even clearly slipped a bit of religious indoctrination into it. The words have become meaningless from long repetition. So that this whole thing that they make the kids stand up every day to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
There it is.
It's not. It's a meaningless. It's a vain repetition that's done every day. All the years that they're in school.
They still do it.
Right. Oh, yeah. I have to make arrangements every year and let the teacher know that my daughter won't be in the flag ceremony, they call it.
Same.
Because she doesn't believe it. You know, sometimes they'll do stuff. They'll throw extra in there when I can't police it, but the one in the morning I do. And, you know, but she knows, like, you know, no hand over your heart, none of that stuff. And then they're slick. They take them all outside, so there's nowhere for them to sit. So I can't even, you know, have us, you know, don't stand up and stuff like that. They do it like that.
Wow.
But you told her, I said, listen, I'm going to let you know right now. She's not going to recite it. She's not going to, you know, and, you know, we used to try to make her go in later. Now they just let her wait by the classroom while they do the flag ceremony. So he said, the displays of patriotism, yeah, America's obsessed with that. It says the U.S. flag code actually prohibits using the flag as an article of clothing.
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy.
All those patriots wearing flags and pieces of flags are actually showing considerable disrespect. But in their mind, they're not.
Right.
Remember, because this whole obsession with the flag, right. look at what they did to Colin Kaepernick protesting the flag.
Right.
Right? And he really wasn't protesting the flag, but that's the idolatry that right. around that thing. So it helps you understand that phenomenon mm-hmm. of where this hate came from. So it says, likewise, the flag code explicitly prohibits printing an image of a flag on napkins, boxes, or any intended for single use and discard. Those napkins that show up around the 4th of July are a prime example of a violation of the code. But they don't apply those laws, right? They're not stopping people from right. that stuff. There are a number of other things included in the flag code that should be eye-opening. This answer was funny. They go to the next one. Scroll down. James. So he says, if patriotism is akin to insecurity, then yes, it is the most patriotic country in the world, right? You know, they say they're trying to compensate, overcompensate for something, yeah. right? The U.S. has always been rammed down the throats of Americans as to how great it is to be an American and that their way is the only way to live. The U.S. has by far the largest military in the world. But for what? To fight World War III? Well, yeah.
Right.
No, we all know what would happen if World War III broke out. All that spending on the military would be for nothing. So having the biggest, because they know World War III means the end.
Right.
Like even the heathen can understand that. World War III means the end. So having the biggest military is saying that I have the biggest dick in the world. The current president always has to say the great American this and the great American that. It's all a pretense to keep the populace on side and to remind them that they are great. The worship of the Star-Spangled Banner. It's just over-the-top insecurity. It's just a piece of dyed cloth. The religious fervor that is abound in the U.S. is another of their insecurities, that God is on their side and that evolution is the devil's theory, except it's the devil that's really the God that's
right,
on their side.
Right.
They are allowed to love their country. Most people do, but do not keep reminding yourselves as it becomes a bit hollow for the rest of us. In other words, when you are bleeding on about how big and best, how much you love the USA, get a room. Right. So I find that real interesting. So let's see. There was another freedom index that I had. Look for freedom. It'll say freedom index by country. I didn't even know they had indexes for this. Is it the mine doesn't have a logo on it, so I don't know which one it is. Nope. Go over. Is it one of those to the right? Nope. It was in the Telegram. I told you all those links. Ashire even went even further and told you which links to pull up. Let me post it again.
Yeah, so all that red, white, and blue that our people wear on 4th of July, that's illegal. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yep.
You'd never know that unless you read it somewhere.
Yeah, that stuff is illegal. Yep, unless you read it somewhere, you never know that. Maybe you need to refresh. I posted it in Power Hour. You got it? Okay, there we go. So, Freedom Index by country. Scroll down. They have them... highlighted Human Freedom Index. So it says, what is human freedom? No, that's the patriotism one. That's not it. You're on the wrong one.
Come on, man.
You're on the most patriotic countries. There we go. Good job. There we go. Okay, scroll down. What is human freedom? Human freedom is an inherently valuable social concept that recognizes the dignity of individuals. Individuals should be able to do things that will be prevented by other forces or that will result in punishment. Human freedom plays a huge role in human progress. The Human Freedom Index presents the state of human freedom of 162 countries around the world based on a broad measure that encompasses economic, civil, and personal freedom. The Human Freedom Index is co-published by the Cato Institute, the Fraser Institute, and the Liberalis Institute at the Frederick Naumann Foundation for Freedom. The report is the most comprehensive freedom index created, using 76 indicators of freedom to measure the freedom of 162 countries, using the most recent year for which sufficient data are available. Some of the indicators used are rule of law, security and safety, identity and relationships, size of government, legal system and property rights, access to sound money, freedom to trade internationally, expression and information, religion, movement, association, assembly, and civil society. Jump down. The 10 countries, the top 10 of the freest countries in the world, mm-hmm. right? Because
the land of the free.
I live not too far from where they do like Air Force overflights yep. and stuff yep. like that, right? And everybody, you know, sometimes some people complain about the jets. Mm-hmm. They're like, I love it. It's the sound of freedom. I look in the group. They're like, I love it. It's the sound of freedom. And a guy at my house doing something. He said he heard the jets. He goes, I love it, man. It's the sound of freedom.
Wow.
Damn.
Hey, don't you got a bunch of sonic booms out there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really notice it, man. I'd be so focused, but I guess some people do, right? The United States is not even in the top 10.
Wow.
In this index, New Zealand's number one, Switzerland two, Hong Kong's three, Canada, Australia, Denmark, Luxembourg, Finland, Germany, and Ireland, right? The 10 countries with the lowest, they have Syria, Venezuela, Yemen, Sudan, Iraq, Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Iran, and Ethiopia, right? Based on the rankings that they have, all right? I'm basically trying to show you, like, the Americanism is not founded on anything. Like, right. It's all BS, okay? Go to the most patriotic countries, the other one you had, and let's deal with this patriotism. Just to show you, all right, how the United States far outstrips other countries. Their patriotism's over the top. Mm-hmm. Because I said that thing with America and the flags and stuff like that, sure. It's not like that in other countries.
Right.
It's not like that. And largely, those free countries, for the most part, are not even in the top 10 list. I think maybe one or two of them are. Patriotism is the devotion to vigorous support for and or feeling of pride for one's countries. All right? So, what country is the most patriotic? United States. So it doesn't rank in the top 10, top 15,
right.
or nothing as
but
far as freedom or anything else, right? But they the most patriotic. But they the most patriotic. India's right behind it, but it's still, remember, Americanism is its own distinct style.
Right.
You have Australia behind it, then you have the United Arab Emirates, right? And then it kind of jumps down as you go through it, right? So the 10 most patriotic countries, United States tops that list, but they don't top any list in anything else,
right?
So let's read a little about patriotism in the United States. Let's get that other link with the little wavy line. Do you have that one? Yeah, you don't have that one either. Do, do, do.
Come on, man.
Do, do, do.
You got to hit them with that too, huh?
All right, I just posted it again. There we go. All right. Yeah, hey, just allow all. Patriotism in the United States, statistics and facts. Per definition, patriotism is the pride and devotion to one's own homeland. However, explaining the concept comprehensively is rather complicated. Patriotism and one's idea of it depends heavily on the country it is displayed in, as well as the country's historic and geopolitical background. Some patriots may put more emphasis on politics, while others focus on the geographic qualities of their mother country. In other countries, patriotism does not play an important role or is even frowned upon. All right? Military and veterans. American patriotism is rooted in conservative values, which include honor, loyalty, and bravery. Americans serving in the military and fighting in a war are regarded highly. Joining the Army is a reasonable choice for Americans to display their patriotism, but also a way to ensure financial stability. Veterans are respected, though in reality, they often struggle to find their place in society after returning from war. Most veterans live in the northern part of the United States where unemployment rates are higher and conservative voters are predominant. The most patriotic holiday in the world is Independence Day. or the 4th of July. It is probably the most patriotic holiday for Americans. It is a federal holiday in the United States commemorating the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, when the United States declared its independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain. Although it is not officially connected to the military, it often includes the displaying of the American flag and respective merchandise, parades and political speeches, but also fireworks and lots of food. Most Americans celebrate Independence Day with a cookout or barbecue. So it's supposed to have so much significance, and you do a cookout or a barbecue.
Bruh.
If you want to get real archaic, it's celebrated with a burnt offering.
Really?
Right, to the God of America.
Yep.
Right, and then it talks about patriotism, the right to bear arms when it goes into that stuff. So check out some of these statistics. Share of Americans who consider themselves patriotic, very patriotic, not just patriotic, 85%. Americans who own an American flag, 63.9%.
Wow.
Americans who are extremely proud to be an American, 43%. All right. So there's a lot of other, like, fun statistics on here. I'm not going to jump into those today, but that you have to understand where that whole democracy and stuff comes from, right? So before we get to that, actually, no. Let me see what I want. I want to go to Acts, and then I had the one for Athens, all right, because I think it says something in regards to that. I want us to understand Athens. And then let me see what I want here. Y'all can say something while I look for that. It shouldn't take y'all too long to get to where. Y'all should just be able to jump on it. Hold on. Let me see where I want to start.
No, that thing is just crazy, man, how they do that little thing in subtle ways, man. It just hit my spirit. Like, bro, they literally do that to your kids, yep. Do the thing with the flag. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're ostracized or
right,
whatever.
Right.
If you don't set a pledge of allegiance, you're the one that has to stand outside like Captain's bringing out his daughter.
Right.
That ain't crazy, man.
The serpent is the most subtle beast of the field.
Yeah, man. That's why people, I gotta be a part of this.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm not included with the crowd or whatever. Mm-hmm.
That's what's wrong with our people, man. We wanna fit in.
That's why the scriptures say we seek a country, bro.
Mm-hmm.
When we talking about the keeping of the commandments, literally, it's talking about going all the way away from this thing, bro.
All right. So watch. Let me show you the connection with idolatry to America, but how it starts in Athens. So first, let's read about Athens. All right. Let's read a little bit about Athens, okay, that I have here. All right. Hold on. Let me pull it up. So my Independence Day is Passover. Well, yeah, that's a good one.
No, that's right.
No, it's true. It's true.
Hey, feast of dedications, like, yeah, Independence Day for
same type of thing.
Yeah. All right. So Athens. So Athens is in Greece, right? And it says it's the capital and largest city of Greece. Athens dominates the Attica region and is one of the world's oldest city, with its recorded history spanning over 3,400 years and its earlier human presence starting somewhere between the 11th and 7th millennium BC. Classical Athens, right? So biblical Athens. Mm-hmm. Was a powerful city-state. It was a center for the arts, learning, and philosophy, and the home of Plato's Academy and Aristotle's Lyceum. It is widely referred to as the cradle of Western civilization and the birthplace of democracy, largely because of its cultural and political impact on the European continent, particularly ancient Rome. We read about that in the scriptures, right? And this is when you talk about that Greco-Roman, right? So Rome picked up, it's a continuation of Greece, picked up a lot of their influence, all right? We don't need what it means in modern times. I only wanted that part. They call it the cradle of Western civilization, mm-hmm. all right? And the birthplace of democracy, all right? We read that when you read the scriptures. Let's get that in Maccabees, all right?
First Maccabees 8.
Yes. Let's get that in Maccabees, First Maccabees. Mm-hmm. First Maccabees 8, and let me see where I want to start. All right, so remember, it said Greek and Rome, all right, ancient Rome was influenced by Greece, mm-hmm. right? This is why they say they're the birthplace of democracy and the cradle of Western civilization. Start at verse 1, 8 and 1, and then we'll jump.
This is the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 8 and verse 1.
Read it out.
Now Judas had heard of the fame of the Romans, that they were mighty and valiant men, and such as would loving accept all that joined themselves unto them, and make a league of amity with all that came unto them.
Right, so they learned some stuff from the Greeks, being the cradle of Western civilization and the birthplace of democracy, okay? And they learned how to basically conquer by implementing the might of their armies, all right? Also with the policies that they picked up from the Greeks. We jump to verse 4.
Verse 4. And that by their policy and patience, they had conquered all the place.
Right. That's the same thing that we read when John Adams with Americanism said, this is Providence, where we're going to illuminate the ignorant, right? Take our rightful place, that city on the hill mentality, where they took those scriptures and perverted them for their use, right? So it says with their policy, and then you got to mix that with patience, right? Because their spirit was just to try to cut our heads off, dismember us, right? All the atrocities that they did unto us. It's in their policy and their patience. They had conquered all the place. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Though it were very far from them.
Meaning they didn't have men or they didn't always have armies stationed where they ruled, right? They didn't need to send sitting armies to maintain control.
Right.
Kind of like America tries to copy that. You see similitudes to that. But, you know, they pulled out of Afghanistan, even though that was all part of the ploy and a deal that they made with them, right? And all of a sudden, you know, they rolled up and they lost that whole region.
Right.
But in Roman times, people had allegiance. They had fealty to Rome.
Right.
And that's what made their empire so impressive in those days, because it wasn't a day where you sent a missile, a plane. You had to march an army.
Right.
All right. March an army all through different terrain, all the way up there.
Yeah.
You know, you watch some of the movies, they'd be like, oh, when are they? He's dispatched the armies. How long? Well, 3 months before they arrive.
Right, right, right.
All right, let's train the farmers and fortify and
right.
all this other stuff, right? So it said, but through policy and that's what they picked up from the Greeks. Mm-hmm. And they said, through policy and through patience. So they said, listen, let's stop killing, right? And let's start trying to manipulate their minds. And they still keep that policy today. Come on.
And the kings also that came against them from the uttermost part of the earth, till they had discomfited them and given them a great overthrow, so that the rest did give them tribute every year.
Right, so that the rest did give them tribute every year, meaning they wound up increasing their wealth because these countries that they conquered had to wind up paying them taxes. Right, come on, read.
Beside this, how they had discomfited in battle Philip and Perseus, king of the Sittims, with others that lifted up.
No, I'm sorry. Jump to verse 11.
Verse 11. It was told him besides how they destroyed and brought under their dominion all other kingdoms and isles that had any time resisted them.
Read on.
But with their friends and such as relied upon them, they kept amity.
And you see that today in the way governments are set up, right? These different allies, and they're aligning themselves with each other. It says they relied upon them. They relied upon them, just like many countries rely upon America. Come on.
And that they had conquered kingdoms both far and nigh, insomuch as all that heard of their name were afraid of them. Also that whom they would help to a kingdom, those reign, and whom again they displace. Finally, that they were greatly exalted.
Right. So what we read when during the Industrial Revolution, it made America easy to be idolized. And this is when the rest of the world fell in line. And then by that whole Americanism and shoving it down everybody's throats that are here, right, it sets up all this pride, this pomp, right, and that they were to be greatly to be exalted. Come on. And then yet the more, all these countries were bugging out because they were like, damn. So they all started adopting democracy and everything because, like, damn, we can take this policy and patience too. Come on.
Verse 14. Yet for all this, none of them wore a crown or was clothed in purple to be magnified thereby.
Come on.
Moreover, how they had made for themselves a senate house wherein 320 men sat in council daily.
Right. So this was... they took what they took from the Greeks. We just read it with Athens, right? And it largely influenced ancient Rome. And they took what they learned in democracy from the Greeks, and they made themselves a senate house. Do you still have that today? Come on.
Consulting alway for the people, to the end that they might be well ordered, and that they committed their government to one man every year.
Right, so that would be the equivalent of the president. Yep. Here, it's 4 years, right? Come on.
Who ruled over all their country, and that all were obedient to that one, and that there was neither envy nor emulation among them.
Well, now, obviously, you know that's not true. You see these movies, boy, there's all types of political maneuvering. I was just watching Gladiator when I was sick because they had popped it up on Netflix. And I'm like, man, there was all types of envy and emulation going on in ancient Rome, right? So it shows you how they had them governments set up. So now, we read in Athens, right, about that, and this isn't shifting to democracy. I'm going to show you how part of their, remember, said that, let me go back to the Athens page. It said that in classical Athens, all right, it was a center for the arts, philosophy, and it was the home of Plato's Academy and Aristotle's Lyceum. And I think what happened is Aristotle studied under Plato, and then he went off and did his own thing, right? So the Lyceum is the same thing like Plato's Academy, basically a place where they taught crap, right? And right after that, it says it's widely referred to as the cradle of Western civilization and the birthplace of democracy. So listen to what our brother Paul experienced when he went to Athens, right? Acts 17, and let's do 16.
The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry.
He said the whole city was given to idolatry. And it wasn't just gods, right? I'm going to show you that when we get to verse 21, all right? It wasn't just gods. Everything to them, they were obsessed with to the point of idolatry. That same spirit is here today in America. And that's where Americanism comes from. They basically took the philosophy, the false gods, all this stuff. Remember, I mentioned American gods earlier and all that. They took all this stuff and they created this American patriotism, and people think it's a political thing. They think it's a noble thing. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just a man-made religion, right, by the sleight of men that carries people around in all types of confusion. And the hell with everybody else and let them be into that. What's important is that we show our people the confusion that they're in the midst of as people stand for America without even realizing it. All right? So read on.
Verse 17. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews.
Right, so it didn't say he went everywhere. He said, okay, I'm going to deal with my people because they're in a place, this great city-state, right, that we read, and there's idolatry all around them, including you would look up to that. Because remember, that was a new thing, democracy at the time. That whole thing of a Senate House and the appearance, the illusion of inclusion, and, oh, we have representatives in the government that speak for us, that fight for us, that's alluring. That'll make you turn from something like this.
Right.
You say, oh, they're not the enemy. Look, they're trying to do something good. And that's why you got a lot of our people today that get caught up and they say, well, what do you do to help your political action?
We need to vote.
No. You got to destroy the whole game board that they're on.
Right.
You can't even sit at the table and play that game with them.
Nope. No.
You got to toss that thing out the window.
Right.
Say, no, we're going to play a new game.
right.
Come play with me. We're going to play a new game. Come on.
And with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him.
Read on.
Then certain philosophers.
So philosophers, remember, you had the most famous was Plato and Plato's Academy and Aristotle's Lyceum. But everybody else had something. So they were philosophers even among Israel, right? Come on.
Of the
Epicureans. Uh-huh.
And of the Stoics.
Right, so those were two sects. Okay, come on.
Encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say?
Hey, that sounds real familiar with us. He said he went to the marketplaces too. That's like when we go to the corners, right, the highways, the hedges, the byways to teach.
Right.
And they say, we babbling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They on and on about the idolatry that America's planting in them, and they say, we babbling. Come on.
Othersome. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods.
Right. So they said he's a setter. This is what they said about Paul. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.
See, they couldn't see it. It was a strange thing to them. And he says the whole city was wholly given to idolatry. This, so you can understand the state that America is in. That patriotism, it's not just, our people are in the mix of that, but it starts with all these other nations, all right, and they push that on us. Mm-hmm. And that's why you'll see our people, they're on that American flag stuff, they're all that God bless America, yep, all this, that, and the other. Come on.
And they took him and brought him unto
Areopagus,
saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is?
Come on.
For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean.
So look at what their motivation was. And this is the same spirit that's here in America with that Americanism. Come on.
For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing.
Right. So they spend their time in nothing else. Right. So very specifically, they were also into gods and different gods and things like the Greek pantheon and all that stuff like that. But the politics was something that was part of that as well.
Right.
They liked new things. They liked to spend their time in nothing else but to tell of or hear new things. It's that same spirit that Americanism is built on. And what that's converted to now, what that's evolved into, is they like to spend their time on nothing else, mm-hmm, but speaking about their patriotism,
right,
speaking about honor the veterans for
right
this. Don't disrespect the flag. Don't disrespect the police. Learn English, right?
Right.
This still goes with the white animus, right? Because remember, the whole premise of that white animus is that they disguise it by saying it's not racism. And that it has to do with something else. That goes back to that race neutrality. I want you to bring the race neutrality thing up again. All right. And because I want to touch on that real quick. And hold on. You didn't have the other one up either from when Ashaya said to go up. I don't think I saw the race equity. Racial equity. I want racial equity. I posted that picture, so you can do that one. And hold on. The race neutrality. No, I want the symbolic racism.
Yeah, that's heavy, Cap. Everything we read since Maccabees,
mm-hmm,
sound just like today.
Mm-hmm. It's just like that. It's
just like that.
And we're gonna finish up with First Maccabees after I read a little bit about this. Hold on.
Yeah, man, America's just that extension of Greece and Rome.
Right, that's right. You could tell just by reading that.
Damn, I still didn't get to the iRacist article. Man, I haven't been able to get to that.
No.
No, I didn't want that one. There was another symbolic racism. It's right here. Let me copy it and repaste it. Yeah, when Ashaya told you go from there to from the article above, you apparently skipped over the symbolic racism one.
Yeah, that's like bringing out a heavy class, Cap.
All praise to the Most High. Let me pull that up. So click on that. All right. So symbolic racism, remember, the past couple of weeks we've been going into the book, White Animus, all right, Ignored Racism, let me hold it up to the screen, Ignored Racism, White Animus Toward Latinos, all right, and they were saying that they're not racist because it's not about their racial characteristics, it's about their behaviors, right? So you have this symbolic racism, and it's also known as modern symbolic racism, modern racism, symbolic prejudice, and racial resentment, is a coherent belief system that reflects an underlying one-dimensional prejudice towards any ethnicity, all right? These beliefs include the stereotype that black people are morally inferior to white people, that white people are racist, that is true, and that black people violate traditional white American values, such as hard work and independence.
Wow.
However, symbolic racism is more of a general term. And, you know, they say black people here, but we read in the book, these same sentiment is shown towards Latinos,
yeah,
right? The Northern Kingdom. It says, however, symbolic racism is more of a general term than it is one specifically related to prejudice towards black people. These beliefs may cause the subject to discriminate against black people or Latinos and to justify this discrimination.
Yep.
They try to justify the discrimination. That is all part of Americanism. This is why we're going into it. This falls under the tenets of Americanism.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do not view symbolic racism as prejudice since it is not linked directly to race, but is indirectly linked to social and political issues. David O. Sears and P.J. Henry characterized symbolic racism as the expression or endorsement of four specific themes or belief. Black people no longer face much prejudice or discrimination. They said it about Latinos as well.
Wrong.
Wrong. The failure of black people to progress results from their unwillingness to work hard enough, right? And I had showed the video last week, all right? Black people are demanding too much too fast. Black people have gotten more than they deserve, right? Wow. And when I say black people, to me, that's all that's Israel, all right? That's, yeah. That's the Latinos, that's 12, too, right?
12. Yeah, we lazy now. We start working for free.
Right. Symbolic, after working hundreds of years,
right,
for free.
Right. Now we lazy.
Symbolic racism is a form of modern implicit racism. Hover over implicit. They call it aversive racism. It's a theory promoted by Samuel Gardner and John F. Davidio, according to which negative evaluations of racial ethnic minorities are realized by a persistent avoidance of interaction with other racial and ethnic groups, right? So meaning they get to, since they're not around us and they don't see it, nor do they care to be, nor do we really want them, all right, they're able to still kind of push those racist views and those beliefs without ever having really seen or witnessed what we go through, right? So it's more subtle and indirect than more overt forms of racism, such as Jim Crow laws. As symbolic racism develops through socialization and its processes occur without conscious awareness, because it's all wrapped into that Americanism, mm-hmm. right? So this is why you'll have people that will say, oh, you know, they come over the border and they take our jobs. They're a strain on the economy. They do these sorts of things, right? Or like what we just read with some of the tenants there, all right? It says, an individual with symbolically racist beliefs may generally oppose racism and believe they are not racist. Symbolic racism is perhaps the most prevalent contemporary form of racism, right? And I'm not going to have time today. We'll probably read that definition again when we lead into next show, because the I Racist article defines that beautifully. Beautifully, mm-hmm. Going into that piece. So it says the concept of symbolic racism has been criticized for being inconsistent in measurement and concept over time. New experiments also provide evidence that responses do not differ when groups other than African Americans are referenced, meaning that the Northern Kingdom's in the mix in that as well. Now, get me the picture on their so-called racial equity. For today, let's focus on racial equity. Right. And also get the race neutral definition as well. Sorry. I want the race neutral definition first, and then we'll read this to show you how their whole concept is broken. Yeah, you could put that. That's fine. So race neutral simply means, right, and they say they have race neutral policies, not based on people's race or giving a special advantage to people of any race. So what's the one thing you hear Americanism talk about, right? Remember where it said they demand things too fast? They say, oh, affirmative action, you guys get quotas and all this other stuff, right, and we don't get any of that stuff. Like, right. You know, basically, like, there's opportunities created for us just because of our race, right? And they have an issue with that. So now get the picture that I put up. For today, let's focus on racial equity and how disparate outcomes can arise from seemingly race-neutral policies. Let's take, for example, two seemingly race-neutral policies, such as not hiring anyone with a felony conviction or not renting to anyone with a felony conviction. Not based on race, right?
Yeah, right.
Seemingly.
Right.
Seemingly.
That's slick.
Right? On the surface, these appear to be race-neutral policies because no individual will be hired or rented to with a felony conviction. However, according to the 2005 Sentencing Project, the state of Washington, right, and this is just Washington, mm-hmm. it's, you know, you put the whole United States in here, had an incarceration rate of 393 per 100,000 for whites compared to an incarceration rate of 2,522 per 100,000 for African Americans, and that's not even including Latinos,
right?
So what does that mean? Why is the incarceration rate important? It means that for the same crimes, white people out of 100,000 are only locked up 393% of the 393 times. Mm-hmm. Black people, they don't have the Latino statistic here either. I'm sure it's more than when you throw that in there. They're at a rate of 2,522 per 100,000. And according to the Becker Report published in 2007, if you are African-American and living in Seattle, you're more than 10 times more likely to be contacted by police than if you are white, regardless of income or prior criminal conviction. whatever the reasons for these disparities in the criminal justice system, so they say he's not addressing these.
Right.
We know what they are, school-to-prison pipeline mm-hmm. thing. They will lead to inequitable results in hiring and renting due to a seemingly equal policy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how that symbolic racism, that implicit racism, plays its role. All
right,
because they'll put policies in place and say, see, we made everything equal.
Right.
But then not address the underlying things right. that are there that are caused by them. That's a direct result of things they've done to us over the generations
mm-hmm.
right.
and puts us at a disadvantage then.
Right.
So now they wind up still getting what they want mm-hmm. at our expense. And now you supposedly can't say it's racist
right.
because yep. it's a race neutral policy.
Right.
Right.
And then they'll say, oh, well, you know, don't do crimes or whatever. But that's why the incarceration rate's important versus the crime thing.
Right. You can't do crime. You can shoot people and kill them and
right.
they'll let you go.
Right. And if you're white,
if you
only 393 right. will get incarcerated.
Right. Got the complexion for the protection.
Right. You saw that recently with some of this. I think you had this Edomite who raped like four girls in high school and he didn't get no jail time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The one on the swim team?
Was that the swim
no,
team
no,
one?
Because no,
I know there was raped. Another one that actually raped
yeah, that's
somebody
yeah.
like behind the dumpster.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the judge was like, oh, I don't think it'd be right. He has a promising future.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard.
If we.
Wow.
And no, this was another one that was more recent that he raped them while they were in high school. And then I think he got like 2 years probation.
Wow.
And he was like, he violated probation already, like once on the thing. You know, and everybody was like, oh, it don't seem right. So that's the way kind of the justice is. So supposedly these policies, right, and again, this all falls under the Americanism and how they try to set things up where they show this equality and it's not there. Last thing to show you that this is a piece of idolatry. I bring this scripture out often. I've said politics. We spoke about how where all this stuff is rooted in. Let's get 1 Maccabees 1:41.
This is the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1 and verse 41.
We were dealing with the Romans first. Now we're going back to the Greeks, right? Come on.
Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people.
And again, they all say the same thing, right? We read that in Esther. You read that here.
Right.
The Americanism, right? They're telling, we read in this book, they ignored racism. Oh, they don't want to be like us. The
right.
problem is they want to come here and hold on to their cultures and right. all that. Letting you know where this stems from. This is their religion. Come on.
Everyone should leave his laws. So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king.
Right. And just like we read in Esther, he said that, you know, these people are what's holding us.
Right.
They're the only ones in all the earth, right, that disobey all this stuff. Everybody right. else, they're willing to leave their thing, mm-hmm. right, and obey our laws. Come on.
Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion.
Right. So, and you see that today. At that time, many consented to that. And today, the important part here is that they called this religion. The Bible called that religion.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing that sociologists and so on, they're actually categorizing it and calling it that. This excessive American patriotism,
right.
this American ideal that they want you to come into is classified as an ideology,
yep.
right?
Doctrine.
Statology.
Right. Doctrine. Ideology.
It's a doctrine.
Yep.
It's a doctrine, and it indoctrinates our people. We're just all focused on white Jesus. Some of our people don't give a damn about white Jesus, but they love America,
yep. same
which
thing.
Is the same thing.
right.
It's the same thing.
Right.
Come on.
And sacrificed unto idols. And profane the Sabbath.
Because that's what comes with it. That's what comes with it, because you have to do their things.
Right.
Right? You know how that manifests itself today? Christmas, Thanksgiving,
yes.
all those different things.
Yep.
The way they set up society about working on the Sabbath and all that stuff. Saturday is the busy shopping day. That's
right.
the day. Right?
Right.
They flipped it. Sunday is when you're low-key.
Right.
Right? Come on.
For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah that they should follow the strange laws of the land.
Right. So they were strange laws to us. They're strange laws to us. It's funny because when you read in Esther, they said we had strange laws.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're gonna follow the strange laws of this land. Come on.
And forbid burnt offerings and sacrifice and drink offerings in the temple. And that they should profane the Sabbath several days.
Read on.
And pollute the sanctuary and holy people.
Well, I did a whole class in the wilderness about the pollution. It's intentional. Now, not only did they literally pollute the sanctuary with all types of manner of unclean animals and unclean customs. And it says they polluted the holy people, the Israelites. Come on.
Set up altars and groves and chapels of idols and sacrifice swine's flesh and unclean beasts.
And you think chapels of idols and you just think churches. Yep. But chapels of idols, as we understand now with Americanism, is the White House. Yep. All right. Is the Senate House, Capitol building. Right. All right. The Lincoln Monument, all those things. All that stuff is idolatry. Come on.
That they should also lead their children uncircumcised and make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanness and profanation.
Read on.
To the end that they might forget the law.
This is the whole point of the Americanism. You got to come and be like us. It goes back to that thing that John Adams said.
Yep.
We will illuminate the ignorant, right?
Right.
And liberate the slavish people
right.
here, right? Because it was he knew that we were the Israelites.
Right.
And he said, okay, we're going to bring this American ideal that we're building here to that. Because we want them to not just forget the law, because there was a portion of us that weren't doing the law. He says, but I don't want them to ever remember it again.
Yep.
Right? To the end that they might forget it and change. Go ahead.
And change the ordinances.
Read on.
And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said, he should die.
He should die. That he should die. So Americanism and understanding is going to set the foundation as we continue to go through the ignored racism in the book. Right. Lord's will. We're going to touch on this again next week. All right. I got further chapters in here and stuff for us to bring out. But we're going to continue to bring this stuff out. We're going to continue to touch on this topic. But you got to understand this whole thing and this whole excessive patriotism. It's cult-like. It's a radicalism in how they do it, and they don't even realize that they're doing it, right? Because that's the whole thing with a cult, right? You're just obsessed behind this stuff, and, you know, you just do whatever they say, and you don't even realize it, and you rationalize and justify it.
Yep.
There's no basis for it. It's a man-made thing, all right? You look up a cult, and you line up Americanism next to that patriotism and that excessive stuff you see with the flag and their behaviors and stuff like that, and you can't tell me that patriotism is not cult-like behavior.
No, for sure.
Go hand in hand.
No. So America's a cult. Mm-hmm. America's a cult. The outside world sees it.
Right.
Right? We read those comments on the Quora page. Mm-hmm. They see it, right? But people here won't see it, right?
That's like when we out teaching, why we sound so foreign to people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So any closing comments? I would presume not.
No, come out of America. That's what we need to do. Come out of America.
Come out of her, my people.
I'm trying to provoke you on a good word. All right?
I'll praise you.
Provoke you on a good word. Well, more you. He speaks up sometimes, at least.
I'll praise you.
No, you too much of a regular. You got to speak up. You got to speak up on the show.
Now I
got to
come regular.
Come on, man.
I got to come regular. Yeah.
Thank God for Sojo Daniel. He popped in there a little bit with some stuff. All praise you.
All praise you, Sojo.
All praise you, Sojo.
All right, man. So, hey, Israel, we appreciate y'all tuning in, all right, watching on this topic. Continue to like, share, and support. I know some of y'all watch from different time zones, and it gets kind of later over there. Make sure that you continue to support, spread this word out there, all right. We having the Spanish show Saturday? It's supposed to be Spanish,
no,
right?
English.
We just did English last Saturday.
But Isakar not here.
This show is supposed to be Spanish this Saturday.
Anyway, we're going to have either the power hour in Spanish or just the power in English, all right? Exclusively on Facebook on Saturday. Tune in next week, Lord's will, for the Power Hour Plus. All right. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Most High Christ bless.
Back. We got the nations running here because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them low. When the Lord will return, Babylon will fall.
Solid.
We got them on lock. God took them people with precious of rock. Israel is back. Israel is back. You heathen geeks are ready for our whip to crack.
Damn. That was heavy class, man. Shit.
Bro, that. Bro, he's bringing up that stuff is heavy. I'm gonna put that Esther in a pocket for camp. That's a script right there. Mm-hmm. That's a heavy script.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Hell ain't no.
Hell no.
Man, that's crazy.
No, well,
history repeats itself again, man. Yeah,
that's exactly.